This is a sermon for Ascension Day, and the scripture it reflects on is Acts 1, verses 6 to 14. What time is it? I'm not asking the literal question about what the clock face is showing you. I'm asking a deeper question about where we are in the story. Are we near the beginning, or somewhere in the middle, or nearing the end? Well, that might depend, of course, on which story we're telling ourselves today. And I want to explore that a little bit, but I wanted to start with this question, what time is it? Because along with questions like, who are we and where are we? How we think about what time it is in terms of the story we use to make sense of the world and our lives is going to colour how we feel and think and act. We'll come back to that. But what got me thinking along these lines is the observation that Luke tells the story of the Ascension twice. The first time is right at the end of his gospel. In just the last few verses, Jesus blesses the 11 remaining apostles and their companions, withdraws from them, and is carried up into heaven. And Luke then makes some very brief closing remarks about them returning to Jerusalem and worshipping in the temple. And that's it. So if you're looking at the Ascension from the point of view of the way Luke tells the gospel story, then today we've reached the end, the climax. The story that began with Zechariah and Elizabeth and the promise of John the Baptist as a much longed for child has played itself out. And now Christ has returned to heaven and reigns from the throne at the right hand of the Father with all things under his feet. The end. Roll the credits. But then Luke tells the story of the Ascension again right at the beginning of the book of Acts. And from the point of view of the story of Acts, the Ascension is just the beginning. Christ ascends and the apostles have to go about sorting out the leadership of their now leaderless group and wait for the Holy Spirit to come and set them off on 28 chapters or so of rollicking mission adventures. So if we're looking at that story, then the Ascension is just the beginning. And how we make sense of the Ascension and how we think about what it might mean for our own lives might well depend on whether we think about it more as the end of the story or a beginning. If we see it as the end of the gospel story, we might find it a source of comfort and hope, that Christ, after everything he suffered, has reached a place where he will never suffer again and promises us a place there with him. It's the confidence of knowing that what we need has been established and can't be threatened or taken away from us, and that's really important. In contrast, if we see the Ascension as the beginning of the church's story, we might find it a source of energy and direction. Christ has promised us power and sent us out to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. There's a mission to pursue and work to be done. And maybe where we want to put the emphasis will depend on our particular needs at any given time. Because, of course, both things are true at the same time. And more than that, they're related. The church's mission in and to the world has as its dynamic source the ascended Christ who reigns in heaven. The end of the story is secure, even if we're still, from our perspective, experiencing its unfolding. So, what time is it? Are we at the beginning or the end of the story? Here's where God starts getting a bit clever, because really it's both. We're dealing here with a situation where the end has been accomplished and secured, and we know what it is, even though it's not complete yet, and from our time-bound perspective at least, we're still working towards it. And it seems to me that that's really the point Luke is making in telling us the story of the Ascension twice. Because the Ascension is both a starting point and an end point, a beginning and a destination, a glimpse of the future even in the present, kind of a pulling back of the curtain of time to show us something of eternity. Does that hurt your head? It hurts my head a bit. It's rather abstract. But if the concept is abstract, the consequences are not. Because here's the thing. If the end of the story is known and secure and accomplished, as Christ's ascension and enthronement in heaven are meant to reassure us, then our mission becomes a matter of living in such a way that the end of the story becomes real and concrete and known in our lives now. We can see the story of Acts, the story that begins with the Ascension, as the story of what happens when a bunch of people who know what the end of the story is live in such a way as to make that joyous and fulfilled ending a reality now. This is, by the way, why mission is bigger than just, say, telling people about Jesus. It's why mission can include things like feeding the hungry, or advocating for the disadvantaged, or even caring for the environment. Because every action that brings us a little bit closer to how things will be at the end of the story, when Christ reigns as all in all, is making the quality of that reign known and seen and felt in every part of people's lives now. If Christ's reign is one in which no one is left to go hungry, then to feed a hungry person is to give them that very, literally, visceral experience of what God's good reign means for them, and to bring the fullness of the reign of God to life for that person. So what time is it? It's a bit, if you'll forgive me for quoting Doctor Who, it's a bit wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey, which is to say it's more than one time at once. It's the end of the story, but it's not the end yet. We know the reality of what God is bringing about, and we live in the light of that, shaping our lives and the world in light of those promises. And if that's abstract or hurts your head to think about, then let me leave you with this. However we think about it, the experience of it is meant to be a joy. Our psalm, which started with "Let God rise up," goes on to exhort us, "Let the righteous be joyful. Let them be jubilant with joy." And maybe, as we remember Christ's ascension and all that flows from that, there are far worse things we could do in response than being jubilant with joy.